Are you sure? You got victory? Today is mine. I told Satan to get me behind. Because today is mine, is mine, is mine, is mine. Thank you. Thank you, musicians. Oh, I was so excited that I forgot to bring the mic. But you know, either excited or nervous, I don't know which one. So maybe I can try with this tonight. Maybe this will limit me how long I can go. Because the bar is, I think, they're low already, so who knows. Anyway, so it is exciting years and days that we are living, right? I mean, this is the end time. Do you know what that means? That means that everything that you want is right there. Everything that you've been praying, everything that you've been looking for, everything that you've been wanting is right there. You know, this is not 2,000 years back. Now we're right at the end. But all these things that we believe, they're going to materialize. Amen. So tonight, we gave Brother Doug a day off because he didn't feel too good this morning. I mean, he preached good, but he don't feel that good. I know that because that's what happened to me. My wife is in bed too. She had a shot yesterday, and she made it to this afternoon. That was it. She just ran out of gas and went to bed. So pray for her too, and because I know how it is. I already had my second shot about more than 10 days ago, so I'm doing good. So if you see me walking around without a mask, it's because I forget. I don't forget. I just forget, you know, that I don't need it anymore. But just remind me. So some of us are already full vaccinated, so that don't mean much, but we're still using our mask anyway. So tonight, let us see we can have a small talk, you know. It's just like you have to be ready in season and out of season. This is the first time in more than 10 years that I went to Brother Doug and I said, you need a break. You want me to preach tonight? And he says, well, you read my mind. I said, I shouldn't ask. But because I wasn't ready. I just wanted, you know, it wasn't because I wanted to do a good gesture or anything. I mean, I want to help him and I'm always ready to serve, you know. That's my problem. Then after I said, okay, then I said, well, what did I do that for? After I volunteer, you know, what did I do this for? But anyway, we are here, and if you're looking for victory tonight, then you can have it. Yeah. Whatever you're expecting tonight, you're going to have it. It doesn't matter who is standing here. It's your attitude towards tonight. You came to church looking for something, and that something is not me, but God can meet all your needs, whatever need you have. But your attitude has to be correct when you come to church. You know, maybe you don't know what you need. I don't know what I need, but he knows what I need. Maybe I said something that I think I need, but he knows better. He knows my heart, and he will give me what I have need of, not what I want sometimes. So tonight I just pray that you have victory over whatever is bothering you. You don't have to let Satan continue buffering you back and forward with those things, whatever they are. I don't care if they're small or big. He don't have no business, you know, trampling around God's children. So it's up to you. Whatever victory you want, you can have it if you can believe it tonight. So being Easter, you know, well, let's just read a verse here, then we can move on. Revelation 19:9. Now, I don't have no notes. You lucky, you there. No notes, because I had no time for notes. So you guys can help me over there by using this. So, and he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage of the supper of the Lamb. So you are blessed already. If you don't get nothing else, you're already blessed. You can lose. See? Because you have been called. That's why you're here tonight. Because you have been called. And he said unto me, these are the true saying of God. And he said, and I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see, thou do do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this honor to be in your presence, Lord. We ask you to bless your people. You know their hearts. You know my heart. Father, and we ask you to do according to the purpose that you have called us here tonight. You saw this before the foundation of the world. And you know exactly what we're here and what we have need of. And we trust you and we depend on you that you are going to give us that, Father. And we thank you. Father, we turn the service to you from the pulpit to the back door. Have your way, Father. Speak to us the word of life. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. You can be seated. So this is the first time I preach on Easter, and it wasn't a schedule, but it's Easter. And this morning, Brother Doug did an excellent job. I mean, he went to glory, then he came to earth, and he went back to glory. I mean, he went all the way and full circle. So he didn't leave me nothing to preach in Easter, so that's fine. But that was a good job. I mean, I enjoyed the service this morning. I mean, it is a time. It is a time for receiving, you know, our daily bread in the season, in the times that we are living. Everything is in season. So this morning that word was tremendous. So, but Easter, being Easter today, you know, for some people Easter means all kind of different things, you know. And if you go out there, you know, people buy new clothes and hats, you know, and they buy Easter bunnies and eggs, and then you eat the ears of the bunny and they can hear no more. You know, they go deaf suddenly. It just starts from the ears, you know. Anyway, so, and people have all kind of belief, but I'm not blaming the people. I'm blaming the teachers. Right. They have them that way. Right. I was talking to someone yesterday, and I guess she's been looking at some of this, you know, this is the weekend of the movie, Passion and Burial and Resurrection, you know, all that stuff. So I guess she was watching one of those movies, and she had a question. Because I tell you what, those movies don't might entertain you, but it has no substance to it. So she was asked a question, so I, you know, as sincerely as I could, I explained to her that is a little bit more than what you're looking at, even though what you're looking is true. You know, he died on the cross, and he died to save you. But, you know, but they believe, well, that's all I need to know then. I said, well, sure. I mean, if that's all you want, that's good enough. Just believe in him. But there's a little bit more than that they don't tell you. And that means you have to die. Just like he died in the cross, you had to die to your old self. And being saved, that means that you're going to have to give your life completely, surrender, leave your old self out, you're a new creature. And all that stuff that you used to do, out there, the world and all those things, you got to die. And she said, well, I don't want to go that far. Well, but I don't blame those people. That's how they thought. And me and my wife were talking this morning, you know, people quote the Bible, and they quote the Bible to them, but they don't give them details. You know, they think, well, we believe in God, and everybody that believes in God is going to make it. Every Christian is going to make it. I don't care what religion, because that's what they're teaching. Prosperity, you know. They say prosperity gospels, you know. And they say you can have financial prosperity, career, positions, whatever you want, but that's not what the Bible means. Let your soul prosper. Let your life prosper. Your soul prosper. So the more you prosper in God, the more you learn, you know him, the more you get revelation, the more you know who he is, then your life line up with that. And you become a manifestation of that word that you live your life. Your life will prosper as a Christian. You become a better husband, a better wife, a better child. Had nothing to do with money and houses and careers. Even though there's nothing wrong with that, I'm not saying it's wrong with that, but this misrepresent the truth. So I don't blame them. So they walk around like, you know, that's all I got. And they believe the Bible, and they read it. But you know what happened? If you only believe the word will kill you. the letter by itself, but they can quote it to you, but they don't know why. So I told her, well, that's the way it goes. But if you're not dying to yourself, well, you know, at least if you live in God and you save and Christ, at the end, that will sort out itself. So, you know, we're not here to judge. This is the time of mercy. So I don't pass judgment. I pray that they have an experience with the Lord in the sense to receive him as their Savior. And from there on, I don't know how far they're going to go. But I'm glad, you know, at least they have a chance to come out at the end and let the books be open and, you know, be rewarded for the work, for what they knew and how much of what they knew they'd done. So all we can do is just preach the gospel. But we'll have to do it in demonstration. See? And that's why they talk to me, the family, because they see my life. They see my wife's life. And they just get kind of confused. Why do we have to do all that? Why do you have to look like that? Sometimes they call me a Quaker. They are from the, you know, because we don't know the hairdos and the clothes and the long dresses and the long hair and no paint, no makeup. So they think we are Quakers, you know, that we came out of our own antique store way out there, you know. But see, they don't understand. Because they don't know what Easter is mean. They think Easter is all this stuff that is being preached. But for me, as the Bible said, Easter is when you reason with him. See? That's what Easter means, resurrection. But what does that mean, Easter? Well, it's not a bunny, it's not a chocolate, it's not all this and that, but it's that you have reasoned with him when he died, when he was buried, and he was crucified, backwards anyway. Then he had reason, and you had reason with him. So, and that is what it means. So then you have to explain them to what does that mean, reason with him. Well, you have to be in him before you can be rise with him. So before the foundation of the world, it was in him, in Christ Jesus. And when he went through his passion and he was tested and examined and it was no fault. There was no fault in you and there was no fault in you. And we had never done it. So we was in him. And if we have eternal life, it's because we were in God. And God is the only object of eternal life. So I tell him, you know, it is more than just, you know, he died and he resurrected to save you. You have to be in him. Because if you're in him, then he will quicken you. He will give you life. You are quickened. See? The same life, you know, that he had, the same power that quickened his mortal body will quicken your mortal body. So it's not just I believe in Christ and that's it and I believe I'm saved. Well, that's a good start. I'm not saying we all went through that. But it's more than what they think. But that's not their fault, like I said. So, and that is what Easter for me is. I joke a few things here, but let's look at Philippians 3:40 or 3:10. You can put it there for me. Because that's what Paul said. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. And that's why you're here today, because you want to know him in the power of his resurrection. You want to have that quickening power of the Holy Ghost in you. See, and this, we are in the last days. And you have to make your election and calling sure, because you want to know that when you go down, even if you die, you are going to get up again, resurrect. And Paul says, that is my life and that is my purpose. And that should be your life and your purpose, is that you may know him. See, in the power of what? Of his resurrection. That's what Easter is all about, resurrection. And the fellowship of the suffering, power of resurrection is to know him, is to have revelation, to understand who he is, what he is, to love God, you know, body, soul, everything. You have to love God with all your being. And so much that the only thing that you can see is him, and that's it. Nothing in between you and God. In the power of his resurrection. Nicodemus came to Jesus. And Jesus said, you need to be born again. Because you will not see. Brother Brown said, you will not understand. So, if we're not born again, there's no way we can understand the kingdom of heaven. And if you don't understand him, how can you become like him? Because he's the one that's supposed to teach you. See, he's the one supposed to lead you. He's the one supposed to do for you, shape you, and form you. But see, do it to the power of the Holy Ghost. And he says, I may know him. How do you know him? How do you know your wife? How do you know your husband? Well, you ask questions, right? You communicate. You just don't get one day and say, I'm going to marry you and no question asked. I mean, you want to learn, right? And how do you learn? By asking. How do you get to know your wife and your husband? By talking. And that's how you and I know about him. It's by talking. We communicate with him all the time. Why? Because we want to know him better every day, not just Sunday to Wednesday. Every day, wherever we are, we want to know him more and more. And the more you know him, the more you love him, the more you do. But if it's just a church thing every Sunday and Wednesday, no wonder people don't grow. You know, because it's supposed to be, church supposed to be joyful. You were saying it should be victory and joyful. And if you go to church and you are not joyful, you don't enjoy it, you don't rejoice, then there's something wrong with your experience. Because coming to church is like when I was in the world going to a dance. And I used to dance all night, even though I never knew how to dance. Anyway, one day I saw myself in the mirror in the place and looked like a monkey jumping. I stopped. I said, what? When are you supposed to turn? When are you supposed to go forward? I don't know. I said, I quit. Look like a jumping. Now I can jump because I have a reason to jump. Now I can rejoice because I have a reason to rejoice. I got a purpose. Before I had no purpose. But to know him is to love him. And the more you know him, the more you fall in love with him. He has to show. Because you cannot love a person and never take the trash out. Oh, yeah, honey, I love you. I love you. And then she said, take the trash. Yeah, I love you. And then you know, how kind of love is that? I love you, but, you know, I don't have time. No, the more if you want to know God, you have to experience God. And that's why we come to church. That's why we go through the situations that we go through and the circumstances and the tests. You know that is so you can experience God in your life and then you grow. It is not because God is mad at you and God don't love you. It's because you have to experience his love. If you're sick, how can you know that he's a healer unless you get sick and he comes and restores you? If you got cancer and you're dying, how do you know his resurrect power is in you if you just... You know, never, if you get sick and he never healed you. So things come to you, circumstances to shape you and to mold you in order for you to experience God in your life. And the more you experience God in your life, the more you grow. And we start real slowly, you know, little thing here, little thing there. And as you start moving up and you start growing to the stature of the perfect man, then you become mature. You become more like him. Why? Because you have experienced God. And God has experiences for each one of you, tailored to you. See? So you start knowing him, and the more you know him, the more you know the power of his resurrection. Even if I die, I know I will resurrect. Why? Because I have experienced his power from beginning to end. You see? Yesterday, well, this is the... Well, actually, my birthday... Usually falls in Easter, not all the time. I was born in Easter, 72 years ago. It fell on a Sunday, and I was born at 1 o'clock in the morning, so that's why I'm always tired, and I was born in church. I was born in the resting day, you know, and my mom was in labor, but I was not in labor. She was the one doing all the work. So yesterday, 3rd, of April, that's my birthday, it was yesterday, so I missed it by one day today. But in some years, every year changes. Sometimes it's in March, and sometimes it's in April, sometimes, you know, it just depends. So, but yesterday I celebrated my 72. Today is my 72 and one day. So, you know, I owe that to God. If it wasn't for God, I'd be dead by now more than once. But see, God, I was in him before the foundation of the world. I didn't know that. I'm glad that I know that now, but I didn't know. I just used to become a Baptist because, you know, that was my teaching. But I wasn't satisfied with that. That don't satisfy me. For some reason, I didn't know, but I didn't know God sent a prophet. I didn't know, you know, that it was a message. But I know it was more. Something in me said there's more, but more what? I don't know. How did I find out that? As a human being, you can. Because nobody looked for God. God is the one that looked for you. So how can I figure that one out? So I stayed in the Baptist church. I was faithful for what I know. I wasn't going to run back and forward to figure out who has the truth. Because I knew so far nobody had the perfect truth. So I spent 10 years in the Baptist church until I came to Tucson. I was in El Paso. But I tell you what, just because I didn't understand everything, that doesn't mean it was time to run and find some other, you know, truth someplace else. People do that. Because it wasn't God, it wasn't the Baptist that brought me into the fold. It was God that brought me into that church. Nobody came to me and testified to me. God got hold of my life, and the first thing, I had to look for a church, and I looked for a church, and I went to that church. The church didn't look for me. God went looking for me. So I know that if God took me there, God takes me out. See? So I spent there, and I did not agree with everybody, and everybody did not agree with me. And that is a problem, because we have preferences. You know, if you let yourself, you know, your feelings and your ideas and your thought, I got preferences, okay? I like rice and beans, and I like all the things, and you might never like rice. You might like pasta, your potato, and a steak. And we have differences. The way I dress, I like brown. That's my favorite color. I don't know yours, but mine is brown. Now, I don't have brown, but brown is my favorite color. And I got my own things, you know. But that don't mean that I'm right. If you like blue, brother, and that's your favorite color, that don't mean that you're wrong. So the only thing that is right is him. Amen. So why are we going to divide ourselves because our preferences, even in the pulpit? No? And that is our problem today. We as soon as you make a rule and you decide that you're right and everybody's wrong because they don't believe the way you believe, you know, it's a problem in church. That's why you don't see people in church sometimes. When I went to the Baptist church, everything was not right. I knew that. But running to what? You think I can find my way? I couldn't even find my way then. You think I'm going to find my way to what is right? No, I need something. I need somebody to lead me. Because I knew I couldn't do it. But because I didn't agree with the pastor or agree with certain things, I don't mean it's time for me to leave. But I did agree with the word. Sometimes, Brother Doug, you know, some people, well, sometimes I got different ideas and thoughts. But they said, well, we don't have no problem with the word that you are preaching. So then what is the problem? The preferences. But I don't like how you move. I don't like how you do this. I don't like how you speak. I don't like how, but, you know, those are preferences. And you should never let any preferences divide you from somebody else, from each other. So there is no time today to be running. This is the end time. You need to find God. Once you find God, everything else goes out the west side. See, the thought, our ideas, you know, all that goes out. Because you and I, the only thing we can come together as one is in the Word of God. Amen. So that's a problem sometimes in our churches, but people, they said they're supposed to know him. That is our purpose, and that is our focus, and nothing else. Because if you get to know me personally, you will not like me. I tell you, you will not like me. Because I'm not what I look like. Because I don't want to be that. I want to be what he said I am. So I'm trying my best to, you know, with the help of the Spirit, to shape me and mold me to his image. But if you get to know me, you know, they might things that you don't like. The other day I was... that's my experience. You know, I was ironing my shirt because sometimes Sunday morning, so if it's not right, it was me. I own my shirts. So Sometimes I'm kind of deficiency, lacking an iron on my shirt. No. Then, so my wife wants to do it. He tells me, let me do your shirt. Let me do your shirt. So I said, no, go and get ready because, you know, the older we get, the more time we need. I don't know what it is. We run out of time all the time. I don't know. Time is too fast. I said, you go and get ready. I'll do my shirt. So the other day I was ironing my shirt, and she comes in the room and she said, let me do your shirt. No, I'm almost done. Yeah, but what you have left, well, the sleeve and the shoulder. I'll leave this for last. How many of your sisters start with this or with this? How many start with the sleeve? The neck. That's it? You too? So I'm right, see? My wife said, that's wrong. You don't know how to iron. You start, I've been doing it for 20-some years. You don't know how to, you start with this. This is the hardest part. Then you get to the flannel and all that. But I do this first, go all the way around, then I do this last. I'm right or not, sisters? You guys don't want to commit to anything. Do I'm right or wrong? That's the way how you do it? Well, my wife don't. So she said, you're doing it wrong. So, so simple things, preferences. I said, but I like it that way. I've been doing it that way all these years, and I like it, and I got to adjust it now. I'm perfect this thing already. I'm done. But that's wrong. You start with, okay. So that's what I'm saying, you know. We got little preferences, little things. And if you're not careful, they can get in between, you know. That's what it is good to know. That it's more than one way to skin a cat. You know, I tell my wife, okay, that's your way, but this is my way. And I like my way, and you like your way. So let's leave it at that. When I do my clothes, this is my way. When I'm cooking at home that I like to cook, I run her out of the kitchen because you can have two cooks in the kitchen. Oh, yes, I do. That's a favor to her anyway. She don't have to do anything. I said, because I can have her, because I have a way to do things that I've been doing for years, and I like to do it that way. But that don't mean that your way is wrong. So if you come to church and people start seeing certain things and their preferences, you're not going to agree with everybody. I don't like, you know, cherry pie. I don't even like apple pie much. I like, you know, pineapple. So I'm not going to disfellowship you because my preferences. But if we can agree in the word of God and we know him, we got the same spirit, we got the same word, what's the problem? Somebody upset you because he don't like the way you look? What that has to do with the gospel? Anyway, you don't have the problem. They have the problem. So pray for them. That you don't like the way I do my tie. Maybe, you know, it's crooked. And I like it crooked. So what? Don't try to fix me. Because I'm going to go to heaven with a crooked tie. It doesn't matter. And you're going to go to heaven with a knife. What's the difference? Well, we always telling people, you know, right and wrong. Nobody's right and nobody's right. When we get there, we're going to find out that we're not right at all. The only thing right is him. So if the word is preached and you don't have no problem with the word and something coming between you and somebody else, check your preferences. Because it has nothing to do with the word. But people don't understand that. I told, you know, when I came to this message, the same thing. God brought me to this message. I was with Brother Green in the tabernacle for 14, 15 years, maybe 20 years. And there was a lot of things that I didn't agree with it. But God brought me there and God takes me out. I'm there with a purpose. You know, God brings you places and certain situations for a purpose. It's not just because God had nothing to do. If you're in a place, you know, like Paul said, content, thank you. But whatever situation you find yourself, you like it or not, it doesn't matter, be content. Because you don't know what God is doing in your life. And you don't know how your attitude is going to affect the other person if you don't like them. Maybe God is going to use you, but if you start acting up like the other guy or the other, you know, sister, then they ain't going to get nowhere anyway. So be content. So I stayed with Brother Green many years. Oh, I found out later on that he didn't believe in the seventh seal was open. And there was a lot of, you know, doctrinal things that, but where would I go? You think I can decide who preacher in this town was right after eight churches? How can I make that right? I mean, how can in my own thought, in my own ability, you think I'm going to figure things out? I tried that. It didn't work out. Didn't work out. And I don't want to go back to that. The same thing with you. You don't want to go back to that old life that you used to decide and control everything in your life. Because now you had him to control you. So whatever decision you need to make, whatever happens in your life, trusting and depending God, if you know God, he will carry you through. Maybe you don't like the situation. Maybe you don't like when people offend you. Pray for those that offend you. Pray for those that use you, you know, and say bad things about you. That's what the Bible says, right? And then continue coming to church. Because this is not about you and your preferences. This is about him and his preferences. So if that is where your focus is at, it doesn't matter what happened in church. You come. Because you're not after anybody to, you know, it's just like Brother Doug says, you know, sometimes we expect too much from each other. And when you start expecting from each other, they're going to, I will disappoint you. It's just whatever you want to expect from me. But he will never disappoint you. And if I disappoint you, there's no time for you to leave the church for me. It's not worth it. Do you fully for me because I did something to you? Come and tell me or just rush me off. That's all. But don't lose something because of me. I'm not worthy to lose anything. Anyway, so power of resurrection, that I may know him. And if you know him, and that is your purpose, and that is your focus, anything else don't matter. Don't matter. Because God will use evil, like we saw in the song, for good. Whatever happens to you that you don't like, and it's evil, God will turn it around. All things work for good of, right? The love of God. So what part are you losing here? Where are you losing? You don't lose. All you have to do is just be content and let God do what God is doing. God knows what he needs to do. But the more you know God, the more you experience God, the more stable your life should be. I see people in them semester for 20, 30 years and they're still moving around because they don't agree with this. If you truly talk to them, it's not about the gospel and it's not about the word that's been preached to this pulpit. I know that. Preferences. Can you imagine losing your soul? I don't say they will lose it, but because preferences, you know. So to know him, experience him, and the power of his resurrection. Now Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him that rise up Jesus from the dead, talking about life, giving you life, that's resurrection. If that spirit that is in, was in him, is in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also what? Quicken you, mortal bodies, by his spirit that dwells in you. Now let me read the other one too. He said, therefore, brethren, we are debtors to the flesh, to live after the flesh. So once you got the Holy Ghost, you cannot leave preferences out the door. That you don't like how I talk, I have nothing to do with anything. That you don't like how I look and how I dress, it has nothing to do with anything. I mean, as long as you dress, you know, all right. But I'm talking, you don't like the way my voice sounds, or you don't like the way my ears flip, or what? I don't care. I don't know what else to make up anymore. Has nothing to do. If you are the Spirit of God, then has nothing to do. You kill that. He says, mortify. So we don't live no more about the flesh and what the feelings and how I feel. If somebody's going to make you feel bad, if not, you will. But it has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, mortify the deed of the body. So if we are alive, if we have been resurrected, when he resurrected, we resurrect with him. Already. See, that's why we are in heavenly places already. This body is here, but I have another identification. I have another body waiting for me that is in heavenly places. My theophany is in heavenly places right now. My identification is there. So that's why I'm here, but I'm in heavenly places, in two places. So in heavenly places, who can touch me in heavenly places? Now here, yes, my flesh can be touched, and Satan can use it. Let me finish reading. That ye shall live. So if we don't die to our flesh, we cannot live. You want to prosper in the gospel? You want to prosper in God? You want to know God? You want more revelation? You have to die. You have to die to your feelings, to your thoughts, to your ideas. See? Ideas about God. Idea about, well, this is my idea about this. You know, the thunder. So this is my idea. I don't want to talk about it. Anyway, but whatever all the idea, doctrines, and revelation, you know, people bring. So give me see the other verse right quick. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. I am led by the Spirit. Are you led by the Spirit? Then we are sons of God. But if you're led by the Spirit, this is what should happen. Next verse. You should not be in bondage to anybody. I used to be in bondage, Brother William. I'm not in bondage anymore. And I'm not bound to get back in that bondage anymore. I don't care who says what. So if you are free, you are free to serve him. You are free to walk. You are free to go to this journey the way he wants you to go. You are free to decide. Before, you cannot decide that. But see, now I can decide. What kind of life I'm going to live? Do I live by my feelings, by my flesh, that I'm supposed to be dead anyway? Or I'm going to live by his word. He says, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. You know what adoption means? Maturity. Brother been talking about adoption. We're supposed to grow, experience God every day. And then until we grow to adoption, adoption is to maturity. A son and a daughter of God that knows who they are. Some people are still 40 years old and they're still like 40 years old babies. They never grow. Listen, if you have the Spirit of God, you have no options. And if you yield to God and you surrender to God, you're supposed to grow. You're supposed to prosper. So check your attitudes. I got to check mine every day. God is doing something with me now at 72 that he wasn't doing 10 years ago or 20. Because I'm at that phase of my life that God is moving me. I'm probably higher than some of you, so I should be a more example and live a better gospel, right? So I better don't say that, because if I profess to be here, I've also professed that I have to manifest more, because I'm claiming to know more anyway. So I have a problem with teens. And mainly my wife and I, well, she tells me things and I just jump, you know, get out of my castle, like they said, you know, you just get off. Because she said, don't do that. I said, what's wrong with it? You know, anything like that, any little things like that. Well, that's not right, or that's wrong, or, but I didn't tell you to do that way. We get into, then God has been dealing with me since a couple of weeks ago, a month ago. He says, you need to suppress your feelings, because she knows how to press my buttons, and I know how to press hers. But what happened is, I noticed that now at 72, I have noticed that some of the argument that we have or discussion has to be about my feelings. Every time she tells me something is wrong, you know, I jump. What do you mean I'm wrong? So God has been teaching me not to answer back. You know, the only person that can suppress your feelings, you know, doesn't matter what people say, you have control of your response. You have control of what you're going to say and how you're going to act. See, God gave you control of that, because you're free to decide, to choose how you're going to respond to people, in what kind of an attitude. So God has been dealing with me, and sometimes I do good, sometimes I don't, but I'm trying to just keep my mouth shut and take it for what it's worth and move on. I don't tell it no more. That's right. Well, you're wrong. So anyway, what do you know? So I don't. So, but I understand one thing about myself, that, you know, I miss a trigger, you know. So God is teaching me to have patience even with my wife. This is how you start with. You know, my wife is my perfecting angel. You're not going to tell me the truth. If I ask anybody, your brother, sister, how was the preaching tonight? You said, beautiful. But you know why I ask my wife? Because she will tell me the truth. She always tell, yeah. And then I get mad. I say, what do you mean? That's what I have to suppress. But most of the arguments between couples is that. Preferences. But I don't like the way you did that. I don't like the way you drive. My wife don't like the way I drive anyway. But I don't like the way she drives. You think I'm going to divorce her because she don't drive right the way I want to drive? I'm crazy in the road. I'm glad that I'm not working anymore because I don't have to go out there and intimidate some of you guys that are going to work. You know? So I don't like the way she drives because she just don't like to drive and she's too slow and I'm in a hurry and, you know. So one day we're driving to Tina's and, you know, going through Amarillo and Texas. And I was tired. And I hit a little town, maybe Amarillo, the outside, the Oscars, before I went in. And I said, "Will you drive?" I said, "Okay, I need to rest." So she started, I went in the side there, in the passenger side, and I went to sleep, and she drove, and she woke me up. "I'm done." I said, "But what do you mean?" So I look around, and she only drove from the city to the other side of the city, and that was it. And she said she was done, 15 minutes. I said, "Forget it, let me drive." She gets tired. She's like my daughter, Tina. Tina drives now a lot, but when she was 14, she gets in the back and she goes to sleep all the way through, wherever we go. I mean, she was nice, you know, passenger, no problem. And my wife likes stuff from my wife. She gets in the car and she gets relaxed and she starts yawning and she starts enjoying the ride. And I'm going 100 miles an hour, you know, everywhere. Anyway, preferences. See, it says, put that verse for me again, Malachi. He says, "But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father." Let me read the other one. Let me see if I need that one. "The spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Amen. So, our spirit. So, I'm talking to you, and you don't need for me to teach you. But the spirit that controls my spirit is the spirit that is teaching you. And that same spirit that you have received the teaching. Now, let's go to... let me see. This is Colossians. The dead, Romans 8:11, we read it. So, "He that rise up Christ from the dead shall also rise your mortal bodies." Okay, so let's go to Colossians 3:1-4. Let me read those right quickly. "If ye then be risen with Christ," that we did, "when he rose, we rose." You ain't got no choice. You rose. He says, "Seek those things which are what? Above." Forget about your feelings again. Forget about what you think is right. Forget what you think is wrong. Seek the kingdom of heaven first, and everything else will be added unto you. So we do it backwards sometimes. I stopped doing that, you know, a few years back. Yeah, I said, "God, I don't understand this. I don't know what happened. So I'm just going to rest and let me know. Somehow, somewhere, let me know how to do this." And he comes through all the time. Sometimes I lose things. I'm getting old. I forget where I put things. I tell my wife, I'm going to hide this so nobody can take it, my grandchildren, and I can find it. Then I forget where I put it. And I'm trying to look. Then one day I'm looking for it, and I don't know. It's lost. Lost in space. I don't know, in my space here. So I pray. I said, "Lord, I don't know where I put that thing. I don't know. I can't find it. I try. So when you get ready, let me know." And sometime, weeks later or whatever, when I'm not looking for it, I'm looking for something else, I find that. But I didn't find the other thing that I was looking, but I found out that I was looking 2 weeks ago. So, and that's how my life goes. Enjoy 72. Anyway. "Risen Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God." See, set your affection on what? On your brother, your sister, your church, your pastor, who he preaches, what he looks like, what he says. So if you do that and I do that, then we will never have any troubles. If we do have trouble, it's because our preferences, our feelings, we have come down again, digress. He says, not in the things of what? Earth. We are not chickens. We're eagles and we soar. I don't want to go back to be a chicken or soar or be out there with the chickens in the manure pad, you know, trying to find stuff. You know, that life is gone. So I soar in the skies. So, but Satan likes to pull you back down always. So you have to watch yourself because he's a good adversary and he's going to try the best he can. And mainly your feelings and our feelings. He will work on them. Next one, what is the next? For year what? Do you think this is just word that was printed in a book? Who is that? Yourself. So you don't have no business acting like yourself. And if you do, you need to repent. It says, you are what? Do you think this is just something that they put there because they want to fill in, you know, they want to fill pages with a lot of words? That means something. That means that yourself should not rise up, never, ever. If he's dead, if I kick you in the rib, you shouldn't even say, nothing, you're dead. You know, somebody give you a good kick in the gut. I mean, it's a symbolic. Not. Don't try it. It's symbolic. Children, don't try this at home. This is symbolic. You should not even respond, Brother Enrique. What do you think about that? Well, it's hard if you do it in yourself, but it's not hard if you let the Spirit of God have control of your life. If you yield yourself to God in any moment, given like that, God will. It's called help you overcome. You know that you have to overcome yourself every day. Overcome your feelings, overcome your thoughts. You know, that is my, that's what God had me. I need to overcome myself. And the closer I get, the worse it gets. Because there are things that I didn't even know that were there. Now they're coming out. I said, where was that at? Well, it wasn't time 20 years ago. Now it's time. He knew 20 years ago I couldn't handle those things. Now I'm ready. He thinks I'm ready. So, and I said, wow, I didn't know I had that problem. But I did. But now is the time to deal with that. So we are dead. And your life is what? Hidden Christ. Good place to hide, huh? Amen. Amen. So as we continue this morning, I was looking at, I don't know, I was just looking at a few things in the message. And we're going to have, let me see, I don't want to keep you too long. Okay. We're going to have communion. So, when I was looking at the messages that Brother Branham preached, do you know what was the last one? The last communion. And you know what was the second last one? Leadership. And you know what was the in between those five last ones? Rapture. Now, when Jesus died, and he knew he was going to die, what did he do? What do you think people do when they know you're going to die? If you're a father, you gather your what? Your family. And what do? You give them the last words of wisdom that you want them to remember after you're gone. So what was chapter 17 of John? God's prayer. Jesus' prayer. He knew it was time for him to go. So cover them. Protect them. You know, I have called them from the world and you take them and protect them and keep them and... You know, I'm in you, you in me. I mean, you know, I don't need to go through the whole thing. That was his last prayer. That was his heart. He poured his heart to them. I'm leaving, but here, this is what I want you to do. If I was going to die tomorrow, and I know I'm in a bed, I will gather my family and I will tell them my last word. You know that those words are very important. Those last words, they're going to remember. They need to remember for life. And that happens. It's just a human thing. You know, Brother Branham went through the same. You think Brother Branham knew when he was going to die? You know, God is not a God of surprises that he's going to do something. Suddenly, whoop, I wake up in heaven. What happened? Well, a car struck you. Wow, I should have known by now. If you are a child of God, God will prepare you. And you will know. My father died a couple of years ago. He was 97. And my mom was in the room that night. Well, they sleep in the same room after all those years. I don't know why, but that's a long time. They were my more than 70 years. Anyway, so I'm 72. She's 100. She's 100. So I was born when she was 20, 28. Somewhere around there. That's a long time. Anyway, so she was still young anyway. I was the second one. Then we have one more. So my mom, I was talking to my mom, and she said, you know, that night I was in my bed, and my father has his own bed, and I heard your father praying. You did? What he was saying? Well, he knew that what was going to happen, because he was asking God to give him strength and to help him go through what he was going to go through. And then that night he died. So that was not all the prayer. It was more to the prayer. You know, God will prepare you. In fact, I know some people. I read some people when they die, they see their theophany and they see people coming to them. You know, you're going. God is not going to surprise you. You will know. You know, and when you know, you're going to be happy too. Brother Branham asked Brother, what was more, Brother? He says, what was your happiest day? He says, right now. This is my happiest day. See, because he saw the other side already. So I'm saying that because sometimes the last word are said when you are, you know, you're going to part away. So it's very important that Brother Branham, the last word he preached was communion. Don't you think that that has something? After this whole message, 205 sermon, and the last one is communion. And before that was leadership. You know what leadership, actually, he described it in that sermon? Follow the vindicated word of the hour by the Holy Ghost. You know what that means? That means authority. Some people in this day have problem with authority, the Holy Ghost authority. But he says, before you leave here, we are going to be under authority. And the leadership of the Holy Ghost, man should not be the leader. Man should not have authority. The Holy Spirit should have authority over the people. I mean, that's the second. And the last one is communion. You know what communion? He described communion. And I'm trying to be fast here. Communion means to talk. To communicate. Now, you see how important it is to talk to God? You know how important it is to talk to your wife and your husband? Because the more you talk, the more you know. See? It says to talk, to communicate. There's three elements on communication. Communication give you information. You know, the will of God is information to you. It also coordinates your life. And it also share with you certain, you know, aspect of God himself. He will show you a glimpse of himself. So if we are not communicating with God, communion is not one night in church every other month or 3 months. Communion is you have to walk with him every day. Oh, but I pray, and I'm talking about praying. Sometimes we pray so much that we don't even let him talk to us back. Because when we pray with supplications and this and healings and so on, my children, you know, that's a one-sided, that's not communication. But communication is when Brother Barnes says we have to come to the point that he will have all the authority, the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, that we have a walk with him that is so close that nothing can separate us from that walk. See, some people, what happened, I was talking to my wife this morning about coming to church. And the problem with people that I see is that they focus into the end. Brother Branham says, some are looking to the future and some are looking to the past. But see, they're missing all this happening here. You know, that the mean don't justify the end. The end justify the mean. The end justify the mean. But I think it's the other way around. For you and me. I want you to, that's why I'm pausing. I want you to think. Because That's what the world do. They look at the end and whatever they have to do here to make it to the end. But that's not how it works. This here, this walk should define your end. See, because the journey is more important than the final end of the journey. Because here is where you learn step by step, slowly. So by the time you get to the end, you're already formed and shaped. I don't worry too much at the end. I know what the end is going to be. But I have to concentrate in my daily life. Because that is the growth. The growth, I mean, for me to wait until he comes, then we change. That don't work. That's what the world is waiting for. The coming of the Lord, and then they change. If this journey don't change me, forget about the end. Because that's what the end is all about. It changes people. So the journey is more important than your end. So don't focus so much in them. We know what the end will be. I will be with him forever and ever. It will be glorious. But I know I have to do something. And that means I have to let him every day, every my walk, to let me shape me and form me with all the things that come into my life. So I was telling my wife, that's the problem with people. People are focused. They come to church and their mind is, you know, church, this is it. I went to church. Yeah, but it's more than going to church. It is a life. It is a life that you live every day. And you know if you're progressing or not. Because you can look back and say, oh, well, I'm not like you used to be there. See? But by the time you get your eyes stay focused in the end. But put all your emphasis and your effort in the journey. What happened to the children of Israel? They complained, they murmured, and they never looked at the journey. What God, the purpose that God took them out in that journey was that they can come, you know, and God will shape them and mold them to meet him. That's all it was. And you and I, we are shaping and being formed to see him one of these days. But see, the journey is very important. So that's what I said. If people don't want to come to church, that tells me how important the journey is. And if the journey is not that important, what do you think about the end? We are in the end times. I'm not judging anybody, but we're in the end time. So we should make a better effort, a more effort to do the things that God is pleased with. Because here in the journey is how I know who you are, how you know who I am, the way I act, the way I converse. But that is only changing the journey. I cannot wait to get to the end, to cross the river, and wait for somebody to, you know, move this one. I said, you done, Anthony, go in. Faithful servant. Faithful what? If we are not faithful in the journey, how can you wait for to hear those words? So every day that you walk, you need to try your best to die to yourself. A little more, and a little more, and a little more. I guarantee you, by the time you get to the end, you're dead. Completely. You know that God, that's what God is waiting for? That he can possess you completely, but he can, as long as there's some part of you in you, everything has to come out so he can fill you with himself. As long as there's some of us in, some of ourselves in us, he can fill it up. But it's a journey. So, and we are in different steps of the journey. Can we read John 13 and 117, and I'm quitting, so we can do this. Let's see. John 13. Let's see. John 13, do you have it? John. Not before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the to the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus knew that the Father has given him all things in his hand, and that he was come from God, and he went back to God. What a revelation. Do you have that revelation? You came out of God and you're going back to God? It says, glorify me with the same glory that we had before. You know what he meant? He became flesh, and he didn't like it. I don't like it neither. I didn't volunteer for this job. I just told me, you know, you need to go. I probably complained when I was in heaven. Me, I don't want to. Flesh, no. Because that's what you attempted. That's what you tried. That's what the whole thing comes out. And he said, let me go back to the same glory. You know, in that glory, there was no death. It was no hunger. It was no sickness. It was no depression. Let me go back to that. So that's where we're going. Back to that glory that we have with him before the foundation. He says, and he girded himself. Next. After that, he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. He said, then cometh Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, well, I do. I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know thereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I don't wash thee not, then you have no part of me. Wow, that's hard. That God will tell him, Jesus will tell him, well, you don't let me do this, you have no part of me. That's it, plain. What happened was, Peter says in the next verse, he says, 10, says, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every week. So God already has cleansed our lives. He has purified our life. He called us. You know, his blood has cleansed us, has made us complete, whole. So we don't need to repent we don't need to, you know, every time somebody make a call to repentance and to come and give your life to the Lord, we already did all that. We are justified, we are sanctified, we are filled with the Holy Ghost. But when we could walk at the end of the world and show, you know, and rub shoulder with people, we get a little dust in our sandals. Not your whole life, but sometimes we pick up bad things, and there's all kind of spirits out there. So that's why we come to church, so we can wash your feet and get rid of that little bit that gets stuck. No, we don't want it. I don't desire it. We don't need to completely start all over again from, yeah, we already done that. But we need to wash each other's feet. That's why if you have anything against your brother, your sister, any little things, you pick up some dust and you threw some dust at somebody's face, walking, and you have to clean it up. See? But you don't have to go to the whole, you know, circle, you know. But it's clean every week and you are clean, but not all. So when we walk in this world all day long and we walk with people that work with us and do the things, sometimes we rub shoulders with the world and sometimes some spirit like to just talk to you. So we don't want them. So we come to church and we want to get rid of anything. Anything. Tonight you have a chance to get rid of any feelings. What a bargain. Anything that you have against or you holding against somebody, you know. This is your chance to do it. And the next verse, I think, but he knew who could betray him, therefore he are not all clean. Amen. So, I'm almost done. Can you stand for me? Revelations 3:20. I'm going to finish with these two verses. Revelation 3:20 is known to you. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and he will sup with him. Sup with him means communion. God wants to have communion with you. And while we have communion with one another, we're having communion with God. We come to church, we have communion around the world. Communicate. God communicates his will. See, communion, he says, I will commune, I will restore you. Because the word commune, sometimes sup is to restore. Also, I will come into him and he will sup with me. And he with me. See, they threw him out of the church. There was no more communion. And he's trying to get back in so he can have what? Communion with the church. And Revelation 19:9 says, Revelation 19:9, and he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called into the marriage, the supper of the Lamb. The supper of the Lamb is going to be where? There. Don't you think you should be having supper? He says, open and I will sup. I will have communion. What do you think Brother Branham preached communion, the last sermon? The whole thing of this message is to bring you in full communion with God. If that don't happen, we wasted our time. The whole journey is to bring you back on the fellowship that he lost with Adam. Bring you back in communion 100%. And if you are in communion with God, and I am in communion with God, then we are in communion with one another. He says, calling to the man's supper, and he said unto me, these are the true saints of God. Let me see the next verse. And I fell at his feet, I read that one. So, communion. So we know that this time, you know that communion when in a wedding, in Israel, in those days, in a wedding, you know that the supper was in the evening time. After the wedding, after they did everything. This is the evening time. You know that we have gone through 7-8 churches. And this is the last age. This is the evening time. And this is the time that we had to have communion with him. That's why Brother Branham preaches that sermon. Is all these 1,204 don't bring you to communion with him. We have wasted our time. If this message don't bring, restore me completely to the communion that we had with him before the foundation of the world, I will be disappointed. But I know he will not disappoint me. So communion is very important because it is a time of celebration. You know, after the wedding, the evening time. Time of joy, feasting, and to enjoy God and one another. So if we come to church and we say we're having fellowship, we should enjoy one another. In fact, you should come to church and you should rejoice that you're in church. In fact, that's the reason we come to church. Because we want to have communion with him. And that brings joy. So if you find that coming to church is burdensome, then you have not found the true living God. See? Should be joyful. So, I remember, and I finish with this word. I remember this brother Doug this morning talked about the two disciples that went to Emmaus. Anyway, so they were having some kind of a conversation. He said, "What kind of a conversation is that?" They were talking and reasoning about the things that happened and what happened to the Christ. I thought he's supposed to be this. Yeah, see, your mind gets you in trouble. But we thought this should happen. We thought this to happen. So what happened now? What are we going to do? Now they're lost. They can figure it out. Nobody can figure nothing out. So Jesus come in. He jumps in and starts talking to them. And he starts saying, what kind of a conversation is that? You know? So he went back to Moses, to the prophet, to show who he was and what's supposed to happen. Now listen, they walk through the day. Takes an afternoon, almost 4 or 5 hours to get there to Emmaus from Jerusalem. And they got out in a mess about the evening time. He said it was drawing night. See? So what happened when it got dark? Jesus made that he was going to go straight. But then they invited him to what? To come to him and do what? And have communion. See? So what happened? The eyes were not even open yet. I mean, you can come over here and I can preach you from end to end. And it doesn't matter if you don't find communion, if you don't find yourself having communion, not with me, with the word, you won't be able to. I can memorize the whole message and I can be eloquent and everything. But at the end is what matters here. You know, so they got to the end and they said, come in. And they beat him to come. And he came in. When their eye was open, when what? When he broke the bread. And that was in the evening time. You know that we are in the evening time right now. We have gone through 7-8 churches. And we have gone through everything that every church had. It dragged to the end. We are in 7 times hotter. But this is the time of communion. This is the time that he will come down and have communion with you. Not me. He himself. The word will come, appears in you and have communion with you. People don't understand how important it is to come and to listen. Because this is not about me, this is not about you, this is about having communion with You know, if they knew that, they would miss the service. Can you imagine, you know, you call your wife from work and say, well, I cannot make it today. I'm going to stay at work. I got too much work. I'm going to sleep here. Can you imagine? We won't do it too many times. You know, it's just like telling God, well, God, I know you invited me to come to the wedding. See, he invited a few guys to the wedding. He said, I don't have no time. I got a couple of, you know, animals that I need to check. Well, I bought some property. I got married, and I got to check out the bride. No, that was the I got to go and do this and that. They made excuses not to have fellowship with God. How many of us make a lot of excuses not to have fellowship with God? I'm not saying you only have fellowship in church, but that will be part of it. Because the reason you came to church is to have communion with what? With him. And he beat you to come. This is not my idea. Church is not my idea. It is his idea for you to come and do what? And commune with him. And when you see him breaking the bread, you know, the pastor breaking the bread for you, your eyes comes open. Because you are not called to be breaking bread there anywhere. See? The priest used to break the bread, you know. They give the word, and then your eyes comes open when you see little things. God revealed to you little things, and your eyes comes open. Wow. Do I have that fault? I got to get rid of it. Wow, I need to come closer to you. So that's what happened in the. You can play something. I'm almost finished. I'm trying to close here. So the three Hebrew children, they threw them in the oven. They didn't barbecue them, but they threw them in the oven anyway. So in the furnace, and they said that it was seven times. You know, we are seven times hotter. But what happened when the oven was seven times hotter and got worse? This is the worst age. This is the ages dragging to all the 200,000, you know, spirit were loose on this bride. It is hotter. It is worse. Things that they are getting really corrupted and things that they are getting really so bad. But what happened when it was seven times hotter? What happened? This is the time where he's going to appear. Because when he got here bad, he got here hard, coronavirus and people dying. When really worse, and it's going to get worse. But it is time for him to, the four man to show. You are living in the time that he's going to show. But your life has to be ready. Because he wants to appear. The rapture is overdue, but it's not because he is holding. It's because we are not ready. Let's get rid of all this carnal junk. We are living in the time that he wants to appear in your life, Brother John, in your life, John, in your life, Anthony, in your life, Blanky, in your life. But get rid of all that stuff that impedes that to happen. Die to yourself every day. Commune with him every day. And come to church, because it is more of God here than it is out there. I'm not saying that is, you know, you're not going to find God here, but you can find him anywhere. But there's more of us here. If one can chase 1,000, how many we can chase here now? That's why the devil cannot come to this door right now. It's too many of us. See? So, my conclusion will be that Easter is a time of renewing our vows. We are not dead. We are alive. We have already been given life. And then we are living alive because the power of the Spirit in our lives should have leadership. Now let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you in everything you do. And then let God come and let God sup with you and have communion. I think God wants to do that. How many think that God wants to have communion with you tonight? You know, the only reason you are here because he desires you to have communion. You know, you're not here because you desire. Nobody wanted to come to God anyway. You never had a desire to find God. Nobody had that desire. If God don't come and find you, it was God's desire to go and get you. You would not. Nobody was looking for God. So if you're here, if God desired you to be here, what an honor. You should humble. We should humble ourselves to God, because if it wasn't for him, you know, you'd be out there just like me, somewhere doing something else, serving something else. But I'm glad that he desired for me to be here. Now I want to do his desire in my life, because that is my purpose. Let him have his way in all ways, in the walk of this life. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again. I am kind of broken words. Father, I thank you for the time that we can spend together as a church, as a group. Father, I know that your presence is here. Father, and I know that everything we do is not in vain. Your word will not go out vain. Father, your word will do whatever it was sent to do. Tonight, maybe I don't understand everything that was said, everything that we did, but I know that if it comes from you, it has a purpose, and it will do exactly what it needed to do, Father. And I love you because I depend on you. I cannot depend on myself. I cannot depend on my abilities, my thoughts. I just don't have any. Because without you, I'm just lost. I'm nothing. And I need you to fulfill my life completely tonight. I want it to be fulfilled in you completely. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for protecting us, providing for us, blessing us. Thank you for caring, Father. Sometimes we even when we do wrong things, you still care so much about us that you help us. Father, even when the devil comes around and you turn all those things, there's no weapon that can be created that can even destroy us. There's nothing can touch us. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God tonight. Father, we are so secure in your arms that Satan, even if he comes as a flood, you will raise a standard. Father, we owe you, and we can pay you. We can repay you what you have done for our lives. But Father, whatever you can use it. I give it to you, Father, and forgive me where I made wrong choices and where I made errors and mistakes, Father. But my desire is to do what you desire for me, your desire. Bless these people, Lord, tonight. Bless those that are streaming, Lord. Those that I just pray that you can take these broken words, then the Holy Spirit will do the work that you intended to be done tonight. Be with Brother Doug, quicken him, Lord, his body. Father, give him strength, a relief. My wife, touch her as well, and those that are sick, afflicted. Father, we send the Spirit of God to console them. And Father, we need you. We need you tonight. Tonight and tomorrow, and if he said tomorrow, that tomorrow we need you. Because without you, Father, we just fail. But we love you because you love us first. Even when we were unlovable, you still love us. Father, I just pray that you be with Israel, protect her, be with your little bride, cover her and our families, wherever they are. Father, keep them, Lord, save them from that evil one. Protect our children, Father, this evil age that we are living. But we are trusting in you tonight, because we have a sure word, Father, tonight. And you will bring it to pass. We love you, and we ask you all these things in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. We're going to change the order of the service. You can be seated. Deacons, you know what to do. You know my care. Can you lead singing? Because I'm not a good singer, and I don't even know half of the songs. Can Alvaro and Brother Joe can take care of it? Renew the right spirit within me.